Let's move on to my second story, which is gamers, middle-aged gamers in India. I am sorry that unfortunately Steam is not being banned, but it's... So let me explain what this is. This is from afkgaming.com. Thanks to them for the story. So you should go definitely check out the article on their website. So the Indian government has decided to take a page out of the Chinese government's book, and they've really clamped down on basically three categories of games. Games that involve betting, games that can be harmful to users, games that have an addiction factor. And you're like, wow, pretty much all games can be addicting. So are they going to ban everything? So in the AFK game article, they mention a bunch of ISPs in India, Channel through cable internet, GTPL, Gujarat Alliance, West Bengal, BSNL, Maharashtra, and Andhra Pradesh, Tata Fiber. They have started basically banning certain parts of Steam. And what that means is basically, yeah, these ISPs are going to become liable if they don't ban this stuff. So they're like, okay, you can access this page, you can access that page, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I think this is going to go very much like China, where it's like, hey, you're under 18 and during the week you can only play these games, right? Or even if you're over 18, they're like, okay, we don't want people playing these games. And some of these games do have some sort of betting elements. There are loads of casino games, at least on Steam in Taiwan anyway. I'm not sure about other countries. So that's something for you to consider. You might have to be doing using a VPN or some sort of obscuring solution in order to access Steam in the future in India. But yeah, this is unfortunate. If you are a person who's located in India, and we do have a few of you guys, let us know. Are you having issues with your Steam client? Can you still access it? If not, let us know. And what do you think? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? And again, you guys know I'm like left-wing radical person. The current party in India is called the BJP, right? They are a right-wing party, very much similar to the Republicans in the States or the KMT here in Taiwan or the Chinese party. So this seems, again, more in line of what they're doing, which is clamping down and being more authoritarian. If you're in India, you should vote them out of the next election, right? Because India is still a democracy. But no, coming back to this as well, I think the only difference here is that Steam or gaming companies in general can go to the Supreme Court in India, who is very much like the Supreme Court in the States. Though the States, this pact with right-wing Republicans at the moment, I'm not sure about the Indian Supreme Court, but they can go and say, hey, this is why you should not enforce this ban, because it is crazy, right? Banning games that are harmful to users. Any game can be harmful if you play too much, right? Or if you're playing 10, 12 hours a day. So it's way too broad. And I think hopefully this will get thrown out in a legal battle. And this makes sense. India is the most populous country in the world as of a few months ago. And it is a country that everyone's trying to get into, right? With, if you're mobiles, right, cell phones, Apple's trying to set up more in India, even though they just closed down the factory. India is still going to be a huge market. Gaming, of course, for Epic, for Steam, because people play games. And then mobile gaming, of course, mobile gaming is huge in Asia. So we'll have to see how this goes. I hope this is... It's already happening. This is already happening. Let me make that clear. I hope it doesn't continue to happen at some point.
Yeah, it does not sound fun.
I know. But yeah, no, I was surprised. I guess not entirely surprised by this, but I'm surprised that it happened so fast and there was no buildup to it. But India is a very interesting place politically after having visited it and knowing a few Indian coworkers at my current workplace. I guess this is something we'll keep an eye out on and let us know what you think.
Yeah, when they put things like, oh, we can ban it for, addictive or for...
Being addictive.
For being addictive. That sounds like one of those catch-alls where they're like, let's make this just vague enough that I can just pick and choose what I want to ban. The gambling thing, okay. That seems pretty clear, especially if there's certain money transactions. You can definitively say, yeah, there's a money transaction here, or... No, there's no money transaction here. So that you can definitively say. But when you say addictive, because it's also like everybody's different. People are going to get addicted to different things. What's addictive to me might not be addictive to you. One of the things is I am notoriously not a mobile gamer. And ironically, the two mobile games that I played now no longer exist. So it's unfortunate for me. But yeah, I'm not a mobile gamer. So you give me a game like Hearthstone and it just doesn't click with me in the same way. And so it's not addictive to me, but there are other people who definitely could be addicted to it. And when you have a vague description of can be addictive, then gives you a lot of wiggle room to decide what you feel is inappropriate and what is okay. So yeah, that is worrisome.
Definitely. All right, sir, let's move on to story number three.
My story number three is that the EU is now basically coming out and saying that we are going to have a new regulation that I believe by 2027, that every mobile device, or maybe even every electronic device, or that requires a battery, is going to need to have an easily swappable battery. So no longer are you going to be able to have your built-in battery solutions. Now, this is an attempt to reduce e-waste, and when we were talking about this online, I said, wouldn't having swappable batteries create more e-waste? Yes and no, in the sense that you're having more batteries that eventually could be thrown out, then yes, that could cause more e-waste. However, the current system is that you throw out the entire console or the entire product, and because of that, you're not just throwing away a battery, you're throwing away an entire phone, and all that's going to waste. So currently, with these non-swappable batteries, there is more e-waste coming out of them. The other thing is that actually not only do they want swappable batteries, but they also are creating new regulations to create better solutions or more easily accessible solutions for recycling of these batteries. So they've said that currently there is a lot of pressure on third world countries to create or to mine these materials like lithium and that sort of thing, and that's causing problems to the environment that can really destroy, especially local, that can cause a lot of local problems with the, they get stuff in the water or whatever that maybe people in Europe don't necessarily have to deal with. And because of that, they're saying if we can recycle these batteries, then we are going to be able to reuse these materials. It means that they are going to need to be mined less, and that's going to, again, reduce e-waste because it's not waste, it's being reused. But yeah, and the other thing that they said that is a bit controversial is the fact that they said it needs to be easily swappable. And what that means can be a couple different things. For example, if you have, like, for instance, my old laptop, the battery was easily swappable because you pressed a button, it popped out, and you just pop a new battery back in. And now, a phone is really difficult to swap on your own, to the point where you have to send it back to the manufacturer, basically, and they have to do it. Now, the original PlayStation controller that I got with my PlayStation, reading this article inspired me to finally do this. The battery was not doing so well, so I actually just ordered a new battery online, and I'm going to swap that out myself. And it's not super easy because you do have to open up the controller, and that is a bit of a process, and you have to snap things open and then snap them back together. I can do it. I can do it with tools that I have laying around the house, but it is a bit of a process. So when you say easy solutions on the user's end, that's a bit vague, and that's one of the things that people are curious about is just how easy is easy. For example, Apple recently released their DIY battery replacement packs, so you can replace it on your own. However, one of the things that they've said is, if, for instance, maybe this is a solution, but maybe it's not, because if you need a DIY pack and you can't do it with tools readily available to most people that they have laying around the house, that might be considered inconvenient that you have to buy these special tools for it. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, this will have an impact not just in the EU, because obviously if you're somebody like Steam or Nintendo creating your Steam Decks or Nintendo Switches, why would you have one solution? Why would you have two models, one for Europe and one for the rest of the world? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Probably just better to create one solution and distribute that everywhere. Yeah, everyone's going to be seeing these results. And there are, however, some people who are a little bit skeptical of this, where they're saying it's a good idea, but you need to be careful on how you implement it, because sometimes by saying it has to be done this one way, it does limit engineering solutions in the future if we come up with alternative solutions. Basically, we are not able to do those. They are warning the EU, be careful in how you word this, because, you know, it will basically put a limit on how you can engineer things. So for example, if you were able to create, say, a swappable battery, but for instance, one thing that they were saying with the Switch is you can swap the battery out right now, but something about the way the battery is put in the Switch, you do need to have thermal paste on it to help with the cooling and whatnot. So if you were to say use a swappable battery, because you're not using these solutions with the thermal paste and heat sinks and whatnot, it might actually run hotter in the long run. You might have issues like that. So this is something that people need to keep in mind. So, but yeah, expect by 2027, most of your mobile devices will have batteries that are swappable again.
That's cool. Building upon what Adam said, right? As most of you, the iPhone 15 is coming out, and I just got an iPhone 14 this year. And one of the things with the iPhone 15 is that it's finally going to join the USB-C.
Not every time, but a lot of times. We get Korean sneezing on the live show.
This is just it's a combination of these, but okay. For the short, if I do make this a short, is that, yeah, starting from the iPhone 15, is the iPhone will join every other cell phone company in the world, and you have USB-C as a standard. So no more lightning cables, right? Which, again, going back to what Adam said, is right, this is the universal solution. Why would you make two different kinds of iPhones? It's about economies of scale. You can make 100 million iPhones all using USB-C. It's far cheaper than making 50 million iPhones USB-C and 50 million iPhones with a lightning cable. Another thing I wanted to add as well is that there are companies in the EU researching recycling technology for replaceable batteries. Of course, the big thing is Tesla batteries at the moment. I don't know. I said Adam would know, somebody we work for, Ken. He's like really anti-Tesla, and he makes a good point about Tesla batteries. And that is true, right? Like when a Tesla battery is out, it's out. It's very difficult to recycle those. But the technology already exists in the EU, and I'm sure it'll make its way to the rest of the world where you can recycle these things. Here in Taiwan, our usual AA or AAA batteries can be recycled at your local 7-Eleven or Family Mart, right? That's cool. Replaceable batteries are really good. Talking about iFixis is a really famous company in the States. You can buy battery replacement kits from them, and they'll ship you a replacement battery. They'll ship you all the replaceable tools. But again, going back to Adam's point of, those are like, people are scared of snapping open stuff. I'm scared of, hey, I paid $1,000 for this phone. I'm going to snap open this back part. I think the last time I had a replaceable battery on a phone was probably my Samsung S9. And that was like 5-6 years ago. My S20, not replaceable. This, not replaceable. I don't think I've ever even looked at my Switch to see if that's like easily openable. It's complicated. Like I remember looking at the replacement battery for my S20 and was like, take a hairdryer, blow on this part. When it's unsealed, use this tool to prop it open. Be careful to not apply enough too much force. Otherwise, you might snap the back lid. Do this and then disconnect this cable and disconnect this cable. Nothing's written labeled. No, it's way too dangerous. But I think this is great. Like Adam and I, well, Adam's not sweating because he's got the AC on. I am freaking boiling right now with these gigantic earphones and my fan blowing on that side. And I just cannot wait for this podcast to be over so I can take this t-shirt off and take these headphones off because I'm dying over here. And it's dying. Like Europe's in a heat wave and global warming is a real thing. And we need to be recycling more. Taiwan does an amazing job of recycling. I remember it's like number 3 in the world in terms of recycling. And the rest of the world needs to get on that. And I think the last point I'll make is when it comes to the third world, mining all these minerals and stuff. Again, you would have seen this news earlier this year that a lot of the first world countries or developed world countries that can stop using that old 1980s classification system. They said, hey, you guys stop destroying your environments, we will give you money. And of course, this is another system to sort of say, hey, replaceable batteries, well, we will have to give you guys later money. And they offered like something like $170 billion over the next 10 years to developing countries to say, hey, we know we screwed up the environment, so we're going to stop you from doing that as well. So I'm going to give you some money in order to stop. So that's something you should definitely keep an eye out for if you are living in a developed country. But yeah. Okay, let's move on to my last story. I want to make it quick so we can talk about some of the new changes we want to implement on this show. So my last story is, and I want to make this very clear, it's about a company called SkyTicket Gaming. And this is not just about them. Why this is about them today is because you guys on YouTube are searching for Nebula Gaming, and Nebula are a line of PCs made by SkyTicket Gaming. Again, if you're looking about PC hardware and components, we've had a story every single week. And of course, by me, because I love this stuff. So go to skytechgaming.com, check out their Nebula PCs. This is an option, right? We had an $800 PC last week. This is an $850 PC, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. And I'm going to tell you why you should not buy it, basically. And why a lot of these pre-built PCs, not just by SkyTicket Gaming, there are a bunch of companies here in Taiwan which do it. There's a bunch of companies in Amazon in the States which do it. Pre-built PCs, they need to make money, right? And computer components have very low margins, like 5 to 15%. It's ridiculously low. So why this is a bad PC is, let's start at the bottom. It is an 802.11ac wireless chipset. So what this means is that your desktop PC, right, is going to be on your desk, or it's going to be on the floor facing against the wall. Now, anyone who knows anything about wireless knows you need your antenna high up. If you're living in an apartment or you're living in a house, right, you're going to have metal or other beams or other metallic components, which influence magnetic fields, which is going to screw up Wi-Fi. So basically, having wireless inside a desktop computer is a horrible idea. You should get something which comes out, which is attached to a wall, or I will put this on our Instagram at some point. A mesh PC is like a mesh Wi-Fi is probably the best way to go. So that is bad. Number two, 600 watt power supply for all these modern day components is like very low. You're cutting it very thin. You need at least for a gaming PC, 750 and up. 600 is way too low. Even as a, if you want to go 600, you have to go 600 platinum. So platinum is the highest status. This is more complicated than I want it to be, so I won't skip that. But basically, 600 watt gold, not good enough. The second thing I'd like to mention as well is the motherboard. This is a baseline AMD or Intel motherboard, B6600 motherboard. This limits the number of PCs or not. This limits the level at which you can upgrade your PC. So this is a cheap motherboard, which means that you're actually reducing your performance by buying a cheap motherboard. You can get a bottom of the line tier one motherboard just for $30, $40 more than what you're paying for this. So also another bad idea, 500 gigabyte SSD, really? Call of Duty was 180 gigabytes. Final Fantasy 16 on the PC, or no, Final Fantasy 14 on the PC is like 100 something gigabytes, something like that. That's a huge file. Like, you can install two games as a gamer and then you're done. Like, what? No. And then the last thing is the graphics card. A 3050 is a low-tier graphics card. Like, that is graphics card for your freaking grandmother. Don't even bother wasting your time. That's ridiculous. Like, $850. Go back, look at our other video from last week's channel. It's go to our YouTube channel, click on live. You'll get a 3060, which is a mid-tier graphics card, which will allow you 1440 gaming at decent frame rates. This is going to give you 1080 gaming for some games if you're like. So, TLDR, middle-aged gamers, you should not be buying stuff like this. You should build your own computer, find someone like me. Everyone knows a geek like a Korean. Say, hey, Korean, can you build me a gaming PC? I'd be like, sure. When, let me know when I have, I'll let you know when I have time and I'll do it for you. Or yeah, it's really not worth it to buy this sort of stuff. Or another idea would be buy it and then replace the components at a later date if you're looking for something to start off from. Okay, as I mentioned today, as we started off late today, we were gonna use something called Zencastr. If you're a fan of the show, you'd know we were recording our audio on Zencastr going back 2 years. And it has been a huge wild ride. We had 250,000 views a few weeks ago. We did 30,000 views so far in July, and we're not even at the end of the month. So honestly, to be honest, if you factor in YouTube, Instagram, and YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, we're like over the 40,000 views this month already. So we're doing really well, and we're already thankful, guys. So we want to step up the video quality. And this is also something that I'm being asked to do at work as well, because I'm doing all these remote podcasts with Google Meets and with Zoom. The problem with this stuff is, right, like this, when I'm, Adam's sending his video as a compressed solution to me, right? And which is why sometimes he looks a bit blurry. Sometimes he's not as clear as he should be. And whereas Adam's looking at himself and he's like crystal clear, decent coloration, especially he has good lighting and I can see all the wonderful figures behind him better. But unfortunately, I don't get that video, right? I get the compressed thing that sends to me. So we're looking at a solution called Zencastr. Zencastr did not work today for some reason. Thankfully, we don't have to pay money for that. But we're going to test out another solution after the podcast today called Riverside, and hopefully that will work, and then we'll probably use that going forward. But expect some better quality shorts. Expect some better quality long-form videos, maybe. Expect some better quality podcasts, because after you look at the live video, right, we'll be sending each individual stream locally, not as opposed to it being compressed. Yeah, so that's strictly the reason behind that. And Adam, anything you want to add?
No. Yeah, To me, one of the exciting things is that currently the way we've been doing is we've been recording the video basically, and then we just rip the audio directly off of that, which means that all of our audio is one mono track, which means if Antoine's a little bit louder or I'm a little bit softer, there's nothing you can do. That's just the way it's got to be. But with something like this and with recording everything locally, everybody's audio is recorded separately, which allows you to do a lot of things with, you can clear up, and maybe if I have some background word sound or whatever, you can clear that up on my audio and you don't have to worry about the other two audios, as opposed to maybe filtering all three audios together. And that might make my audio sound a little bit better, but maybe it fuzzes out Antoine or Korean or something like that. Same solution would do the same thing. So I'm really excited about the audio thing. One of the things that I always used to do when I was editing the audio is I would always offset. I would put I'd put myself a little bit to the left and put Korean right in the middle and put Antoine a little bit to the right. It was a subtle thing. The idea is you're sitting at a table and there's three guys sitting at you and the sounds are coming from different things. So I try to make it a little more immersive. You can't do that with mono sound.
Sure.
Having these, so I'm excited.
Me too. There's definitely something to be keeping an eye out for, like a little better podcasts, more streaming. I didn't have time this weekend to tried kick streaming again. But as I told Ted, I gave Adam a graphic, like kick streaming is with that 50-50 split is way better. Adam would need, I think, 1,000 subscribers and then he'd be set. And then you'd be seeing Adam streaming 4 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he'd just be a homebody and never have to leave his house again.
Much to my wife's chagrin.
Yes, much to his wife's chagrin as well. And then once Adam would be like, hey, I can tell my partner, I'm like, hey, look, Adam's doing this at home and he's making nice money. What can I do? And then I joined Adam, and Adam would be the case in point. I'm like, look, even at 40 years old, or almost 40, 40, almost 40 or 40?
Almost 40.
Almost 40, right? Like, look, Adam's living the streaming dream. Yeah, 40 next year. Yes, because you're the same birthday as my brother, who's turning 40 next year as well. Yeah, because you both have the same birthdays. Cool. Okay, so we already know what Adam is doing. So catch Adam on Thursday. And again, remember, Adam is tired and busy, and I'm always bombarding Adam and Antoine with different things about social and things going on and what's happening here. Don't forget to check us out on Threads. We're on Middle Age Gaming is on Threads, and I put that into my schedule that once a week on Threads, I will upload a video or place some comments, and I'm on Threads at least whenever I have time during the week. But at least Sundays, you'll see us on Threads. And Threads, it's a wonderful place. Less spam, less bots, less right-wing content. I'm sorry about that. Check us out on Threads as well. It is pretty awesome. I'm enjoying it. Keep an eye out for Adam's streaming. And then we will see you guys same time next week, hopefully on Riverside for some better video quality. And yes, hope so. We're going to try it out right now. Take care, guys.
Later.